Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. In today's session, we're going to be talking about the seven churches in Revelation. That is, the seven churches in Revelation. Many of the authors that I have read after say that Revelation chapters 2 and 3 formed a prophetic outline of the development of the church age. While I agree that it could be a rough outline of the church age, I think both chapters are pictures of churches that exist in every year after Acts chapter 2. Now, throughout the world today, we can and do find every type of church discussed in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and they exist concurrently alongside one another. The question is which church type are you a member of? In five of the seven churches, major problems were identified by the Lord Jesus Christ that should be corrected in any church they are found in. His charge to those churches was to repent. We should take a real close look at our church, and I'm talking about your church, whatever church you're a member of now, and see where you or I stand at. If we identify any of these problems in our church, they must be removed. First up, we're going to read about the church at Ephesus, and it is called the church that left its first love. It is described in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, where the Bible reads as follows. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you, or unto thee, quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, in the midst of the paradise of God. That is Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. There's eight different things that I want to point out from the passage of Scripture that we just finished reading. This church at Ephesus is known for its work, its labor, and its patience. It is also known to have a practice of trying false apostles and finding them to be liars. And they are also a doctrinally steadfast church. And then in verse 4 of chapter 2, we see where they left their first love. They were doing all the right things, but it was not tempered by the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I kind of have, over the years, have speculated that, though not in the text, I believe that their first love is that they had quit evangelizing and tried to lead others to Christ. And folks, that's a problem in most of our churches today. People just do not seem to care that other folks are dying and going to hell. And it's because they will not witness to them. It's because they will not take the gospel out. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you love lost sinners, you're going to evangelize the lost world. Number five thing that you see in that passage of Scripture on the church of Ephesus is that they hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans literally means above the laity. And folks, this is a charge that has been carried to churches that have priests and bishops and outside hierarchy, outside of the local assembly. that are dictating to that church. And what they were doing is that they were exalting the church leaders above the people that sit upon the pews. In a Bible-believing church, there is no such thing as a clergy and a laity. They're either saved people that sit on the pews of the churches, saints, in other words, and leaders that we call either pastors or bishops. There is no outside entity that is supposed to dictate to what a local, independent New Testament church does. Number six out of this, there was a warning to repent and return to their first works. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 2 says this, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." That is a description of this church in Ephesus that has left its first love. Number seven, there is a promise in the closing verses of this particular letter to this church. And that promise is that those that overcome will eat of the tree of life. And then number eight, the closing message to that church was to listen up, folks. It's to hear what he's saying. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And that message is stated in every one of these churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Folks, we need to be listening up. We need to be listening for that smell, that still small voice. We need to wait upon the Lord and do that which he directs us to do. Next up, we're going to talk about the church at Smyrna. And the church at Smyrna is known as the Martyrs Church. That's Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Verse 8, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Now, some things we need to point out in this short passage of Scripture from Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 is this. In verse 8, the first and the last, that is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know anything about really the book of Revelation, three or four different times it uses either the term Alpha and Omega or first and last that's used. And if you know anything about your Bible, you'll know that in Isaiah chapter, a specific chapter. I wish I could remember all of them off the top of my head. But there's four different references in the book of Isaiah that refer to the first and the last. And also in that passage of Scripture, there is a phrase used in there 30 different times in the book of Isaiah that refers to the Holy One of Israel. Now, we know from our Bibles in the book of Acts that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Now, he shows up 30 different times in there. Now, that doctrine of being the first and the last, that shows up, I think, four times, as I was saying, in the book of Isaiah. So, that first and last here in Revelation chapter 2 in the church of Smyrna is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, fact about this church is that church was poverty-stricken and a tribulation church. Now, we have churches, not so much in America, but in, countries where Islam may have a strong foothold or, where communism has a strong hold. and those churches, folks, are severely persecuted and are in much tribulation. And one of the countries that has the greatest persecution record would be the country of China. Number three, we found out that the in the church at Smyrna, there were blasphemous liars of the synagogue of Satan who falsely claimed to be Jews. They are condemned. Now, I have prepared a study, and it's on our both the audio and the print version of it is uploaded to our website, where we deal with that particular passage where it talks about the Jews that are not Jews. We have a study that we've done on that. And of course, within the Jewish community, we have people that say they are Jews and they are not. Now, just as in the Christian community, we have Christians who say they are Christians and they are not, and they are also children of the devil. But I dealt quite extensively with that topic in that study. I think it probably ran about 37 pages long. I would encourage you to go listen to it and download it. Number four in this church at Smyrna, they were the imprisoned and martyred church. And now, I don't know if you know anything about the historical record, but the Muslims conducted a massacre at Smyrna back under the Ottoman Empire in the it's either the late 1890s or the early 1900s, where they killed untold thousands of Christians at Smyrna. So there's a historical perspective on it also. And then if you note in this letter written to the church at Smyrna, there was no condemnation for this church at all. This church was where it needed to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say that the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ was to encourage that church on, to root them on. And then we also note that in this particular passage, there is no call to repentance for this church. Now, that's one of the big themes in the book of Revelation. We see constant calls to repentance in the book of Revelation, but the sad and tragic statement that follows up from that is that they repented not. And of course, that always results in judgment. And then number seven in this particular letter to Smyrna, we have a promise of a crown of life and no threat of the second death. Now, the second death is the point in time in Revelation chapter 20 where it is defined. But the second death occurs four times in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 20, the second death is defined as the point in time when death, hell, and lost sinners are cast into the lake of fire. And Revelation chapter 20 says that that is the second death. So the church at Smyrna is promised no chance of it being subjected to the second death. And then, of course, it closes, as every letter in this particular, in the book of Revelation does, to each of these seven churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And who are they supposed to be listening to? They're supposed to be listening to the Spirit of God, to God the Holy Ghost. Folks, he is our, he's our teacher, he's our discerner, he's the one that gives us the power that we need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Next up, we have the church at Pergamos, and that church is called the Carnal Church. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there of them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that white stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. That is Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the sharp sword, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, ought to bring to mind Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, which state the following: For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word, the living Word, he's referred to as the Word in John 1:1 and also in Revelation chapter 19. He is the Word, and that Word is a sharp and two-edged sword. It cuts going and coming. There's nothing you can hide from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this church at Pergamos is also described as being the place of Satan's seat. And that's in chapter 2, verse 13. Also, it is described as the place where Antipas was murdered. That's in verse 13. Pergamos also held fast to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and had not denied the faith. So you see in all these churches, except for maybe Laodicea, there's some good things said about each of these churches. Now, number five, Pergamos was condemned for tolerating those holding the doctrine of Balaam, who was promoting idolatry, fornication, and intermarriage in Israel in Numbers chapters 22 through 24. And believe me, that's a fire that's raging in the apostate churches of the world today, and especially in America. Number six, Pergamos was also condemned for tolerating those that held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That is the second time we've heard that phrase used. Nico talks about being above, and Laetans talks about laity within the church, or what some religionists call the laity. The Bible knows no such thing as a clergy and a laity. Many Bible teachers try to mix the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They are not the same. I've read many explanations for the Nicolaitans over the years that I do not agree with. I believe the Nicolaitans were a group of elitists who promoted an unscriptural form of church leadership. The Bible does not teach the religious concept of a clergy and a laity who lord over God's heritage and his people. So I believe it's dealing with unscriptural church leadership in those things. And we have one church, specifically the Roman Catholic Church, and if you look at all of the harlots that came out of the Roman Catholic Church, they all have unscriptural forms of church government. Need we to look any further than the Anglicans, the Episcopalians, the Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox churches? All of those churches like that have an unscriptural form of church government. Now, number seven in this church at Pergamos, we have a warning: repent or fight against the sword of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to be in a position where you're fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And then number eight, the promise was given for the overcomers will eat of the hidden manna and be given a white stone. Now that white stone has been interpreted in several different ways. One of the ways is it is interpreted as a symbol of victory. But it is also in ancient times when somebody was put on trial, if they were found innocent, they were given a white stone. If they were found guilty, they were given a black stone. So take it for what it is. But here in the book of Revelation, it's definitely given as a symbol of victory in Revelation 2:17. And then again, item number 9 for the church of Pergamos, the same as for the others. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Listen up, folks. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Next up, we have the church at Thyatira, which is the idolatrous church. And we see them described in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 19. And of course, that again is about Thyatira, which is the idolatrous church. Number one that we take from the church of Thyatira, the Son of God with eyes as a flame of fire and feet like fine brass shows up in verse 18. Number two, Thyatira is commended for their works, charity, service, faith, and patience in verse 19. Number three, Jezebel is presented as the New Testament type of the Old Testament Jezebel in 1 Kings 18, 19, 21, and also in 2 Kings chapter 9. Jezebel is a false teacher and a false prophet. She is promoting idolatry and fornication. The Lord Jesus Christ condemned the church at Thyatira for allowing Jezebel to teach. Here's what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says about women preachers and women teachers who would aspire to teach and usurp authority over men. The Bible strictly forbids it. And I know that in our generation that folks do not like that, especially a lot of the women, they don't like that. But when they do that, they're not rebelling against something I say. They're rebelling against what the Word of God teaches. Paul, the apostle, said this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And I repeat this, folks, if you have a problem with that, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the Bible and with God. God has ordained a an authority, a chain of authority that he has set up in the church. And by the way, he is also ordained an authority within the home also. And many men have abdicated that authority. They have not done what they ought to do. God tasked the man with the responsibility of running both the home and the church. And sadly, in the vast majority of cases, that just does not happen in our society. It doesn't happen because we got some men that don't have backbones, and we've got some women who are in rebellion against the Word of God. That's pure and simple the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said he gave Jezebel space to repent, but that she would not repent. The Lord Jesus Christ also commanded those in the church at Thyatira to repent, lest they be cast into great tribulation with Jezebel. And I just want to emphasize it again. Female church leaders are not scriptural. God forbids them in the Word of God. But yet in Isaiah chapter 3, the Bible identifies a time and which is against the will of God. And plainly, you can read that from the context of Isaiah chapter 3. There would come a time when women and children would be exercising the authority that men were supposed to. And God condemned it in Isaiah chapter 3. Once again, that's God's condemnation, not mine. Number 4 on this church at Thyatira. Many of the members of this church were immersed in Satan worship. What about that, folks? Well, if you don't know it, within the Roman Catholic Curia, there's actually a group of men in that group that worship Satan. And when the Babylon fell, there was a, and I didn't mention this when we were talking about the church at Pergamos, the Babylonian priesthood moved to Pergamos. And that's why the statement is made about it being the seat of Satan, because that Babylonian religion moved from Babylon to Pergamos. And I would have you to remember that that there are mysteries associated with the Babylonian religious system, and they are pagan mysteries. And it is that which is condemned in Revelation chapter 17, where the Bible refers to that one world religion as the mother of harlots and its mystery, Babylon the Great. And folks, it is manifesting itself in such a powerful way throughout the world today. And folks, he's coming back. We're seeing more and more signs of it. And I know that there are no signs associated with the rapture of the saints, but we're seeing more and more signs of a massive falling away in the church that is prophesied of in 2 Thessalonians. And it's obvious to me that God has already sent strong delusion to a lot of buildings and congregations they're deluded. They're not of the of God. They're not churches of the living God, and they've already been sent strong delusion because they're teaching and preaching every kind of false doctrine. You want false doctrine? You don't have to go very far to get it. And finally, in number 6 to this church at Thyatira, he closes again with this warning: "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That is verse 29 is where we see that up. Next up, we have the church at Sardis. This church is called the Dead Church. Welcome to America. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, read this way about the church at Sardis. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church, or what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, Sardis is identified as a church that is almost completely dead, with a false reputation that it is alive. And folks, that's really the state of the church in America for the most part. They have loud music and smoke and lights, but no spirit there. The Spirit of God has left most of the churches in America because they have left God doctrinally, and of course scripturally they've left him because they're teaching for doctrines the commandments and traditions of men, which are roundly condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. And what the Lord Jesus Christ says there is that they're, because their doctrine is corrupt, their worship is in vain. Number two, this church is in much need of revival. That would be the church at Sardis. And we would say, amen. That's what the church in America needs. Folks, revival is not for the lost world. Revival is for the churches. And what comes out of a revival is what is for the lost world. That is a zeal to get back to evangelizing lost people so that they don't have to spend an eternity in hell fire. Most of our churches in that respect today are dead. Number three, on this church at Sardis, it is commanded to heed the word of God and repent. They are warned of pending judgment. Now, I've heard for many years, many, many years, I've heard it preached and taught that God always sends a warning before he sends judgment. And folks, this Bible, this King James Bible, is loaded up with those warnings. The problem is that we have no fear of God in our churches. And you know why we have no fear of God? Because most of the folks in our churches do not know God. They don't have a clue who God is because they have not the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that you are none of his. Number four, the Lord Jesus Christ says that even as wicked and defiled as this church is at Sardis, they are still a few who are clean and worthy to walk with him. That's in verse 4 of chapter 3. And then number 5, there is the promise. Those that overcome will be clothed in white. Those that do not will be blotted out of the book of life. Now, to be blotted out of the book of life, you know what that means, don't you? That means that they are not saved. They're just baptized church members. And folks, I hammer this all the time because I have such a great concern for it. Our churches, folks, are in serious trouble simply because our pews are full of unsaved, baptized church members who do not know God and who are doing everything that they can to rebel against God. And anytime I see a person that claims to be saved that's in open rebellion against God, in open sin, and will not read and study their Bibles, I look at them and I say, well, you probably don't have the Spirit of God. And if you're in that situation, you better check it out. You better examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. I believe that this church we were just talking about was full of unsaved church members, and that is the source of their deadness. That is also the reason for the very strong warning from the Lord Jesus Christ that those who do not repent will be blotted out of the book of life. Why? Once again, they're not saved. That's what we're talking about. And then it closes out in this letter, says, tells them to listen up. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Folks, you better listen up. You better hear what he's saying. Not only receive it in sound, in the volume of the sound, but you better be heeding it, responding to it. Next up, we have the church at Philadelphia. The church at Philadelphia is known as the church with the open door. It is the only the Lord Jesus Christ can open and close that door that he has opened up. And we want to go and read the description of this church now in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Number one, of course, this church is known as the Church of the Open Door. And it's the church that the Lord Jesus Christ has opened the door on, and no man can shut the door that has the power of God upon it. The key of David, we see that in Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22, has been given to this church. And that passage of Scripture states this: and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. If you know anything about the book of Isaiah, you will know that the Lord Jesus Christ walks all over its pages. He is, and it's obvious that Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22 is talking about him. I refer to the book of Isaiah as the Old Testament Gospel. I mean, you cannot read it without knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is there. 30 different times in Isaiah, you see the Holy One called out. And we know from the New Testament in the book of Acts, two different times, that the Holy One is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And look at the rest of the book of Isaiah, and you see that phrase, the first and the last, called out three or four different times within the book of Isaiah. That first and the last is called into the book of Revelation in chapter 1, and he's used, I think, four times in the book of Revelation. So that is yet another indication that he, that the Holy One and that first and the last is the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the word the Redeemer occurs, I think, seven different times in its capitalized form and six in its in a lowercase form. All of those are references to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer. And then, of course, we have that great crucifixion chapter in Isaiah chapter 53 that talks about the crucifixion. But we also have the chapter in Isaiah chapter 9 that talks about the time coming when he's going to be the ruler and reigner over the entire earth. So the book of Isaiah is loaded up with doctrine about the Lord Jesus Christ. I would venture to say that it is, that book is probably the biggest presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I think I can say that without hesitation. Number two, this church at Philadelphia is a strong church that has not denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, Philadelphia is also a church that is under the attack from the liars of the synagogue of Satan who falsely claim to be Jews. Now, we've already dealt with that issue with another church in these two chapters in the book of Revelation where they talk about the synagogue of Satan. It is very instructive that both Smyrna and Philadelphia came under the direct attack of Satan. That's the previous church where we talked about the synagogue of Satan and the Jews that say they are Jews and are not. And it's instructive that they're under attack because they are the only ones that the Lord Jesus Christ does not have a problem with. There are some Philadelphian churches even in this age of almost total apostasy and heresy. And by the way, let me say that there are some churches like Smyrna in this age, and they're not in America, folks. There may be some that are suffering some persecution, but there is no way that the church in America is suffering the persecutions like are brought forth by the satanic communist in the country of China and by the satanic Muslims in the Muslim nations in the Middle East, in Indonesia, and in also in Africa too. The world is eat up with Islam, and I believe that Islam is the religion of the Antichrist. And we are right now preparing a series, and I know it's going to be at least 16 different presentations dealing with Islam. I would encourage you to be looking for that series and to go and download it and look at, read it and study it and listen to it. Next up in the Church of Philadelphia, Philadelphia is the Church of the Deliverance. She is promised deliverance from the hour of temptation, that is to try the whole world during the tribulation, for God hath not appointed her to the wrath that is to come. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. The number five fact about the church at Philadelphia is Philadelphia has been given a crown. They are exhorted to hold fast to the faith in verse 11 of chapter 3. Number 6, in the church at Philadelphia, the overcomers are promised a pillar in the temple of God. And then finally, it closes in number 7 with that oft-repeated warning to each of the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Finally, we have the church at Laodicea, which we call the regurgitated church. It is what a lot of people refer to as the lukewarm church. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, and we'll read verses 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Note on this church to start out with that he's standing outside the door, knocking, wanting to come in. You know what that means? That means he's not in there. That ought to be a word of warning to anybody that has ears to hear. He is not in there. That's why he is knocking on the door, pleading to be let in, because they claim to be a church of the living God, and they are not. Now, the church at Laodicea is the worldly, carnal church that is neither cold or hot. They are lukewarm. Laodicea is the regurgitated church that Christ has spewed out of his mouth. Laodicea will stand for nothing, and because of that, they fall for every wind of doctrine. They are naked, spiritually blind. They are a naked, spiritually blind, miserable lot that do not have a clue who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That is why he is standing outside of their door knocking. I have seen pictures that present the church of Laodicea as being a door with a knob on only one side. And of course, that knob is on the inside. The church of Laodicea either will not stand against sin or openly promotes it. And might I say that that's really more the case today. We have churches that claim to be churches of the living God that are promoting every form of sin and sexual perversion, and even that before children, in this day and age, both in our country and I know in Canada, and without a doubt, I know it's in the other countries of the world, but I read a lot of stuff, and there's hardly a week goes by that I don't read about some synagogue of Satan that is holding some kind of a burlesque show where they are presenting transgender sodomites before the children. Listen at that, before the children within their own sanctuaries. Inside their churches, they're promoting that stuff. Folks, that is of the devil. The church of Laodicea, once again, they will not stand against sin, and they openly promote it. They promote the murder of unborn babies. They promote sodomy by ordaining sodomites to the ministry and by allowing known sodomites to continue as church members. They promote the purely satanic transgender agenda. They hold drag queen shows for the children in their churches. Are you shocked yet? You ought to be. They openly promote the devil's music by holding rock concerts with smoke and lights in buildings that they call churches. You cannot worship God with Satan's music. Let me repeat that. You cannot worship God with Satan's music. The church of Laodicea openly denies the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they don't even want to hear about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because then that becomes a bloody religion that embarrasses them. It shames them. They don't want any part of it. Also, the church of Laodicea promotes Islam. Have you heard of a thing called Chrislam in our country that's being openly promoted? And that is a doctrine of devils that says that the God of Islam is the same as the God of the Bible. And nothing, folks, I'll repeat, nothing could be further from the truth than that. The God of Islam is the devil himself, and Muhammad is his wicked, vile prophet. And God is going to judge that religion too, folks. And this church of, not only does it promote Islam, they also derisively mock the biblical doctrine of repentance by calling those who stand for repentance Pharisees and legalists. The Laodiceans have a counterfeit God, a counterfeit Christ, a counterfeit Holy Ghost, counterfeit gospels, counterfeit baptisms, counterfeit churches, counterfeit preachers, and counterfeit Bibles. The Laodicean churches have become dens of iniquity inhabited by unclean and evil spirits that promote doctrines of devils. If the Laodicean churches have any saved folk in them, it cannot be proved by the doctrines that they teach and preach and the vile, lascivious lifestyles that they both tolerate and promote. Welcome to the church in general in America, and it is that church of Laodicea. I would urge those churches to repent. That was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that is an overriding theme in the book of Revelation, is a message to repent. And of course, it is sadly followed up and tragically followed up that they repented not. And what's going to follow from that, folks, is judgment. And that judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. So I want to thank you for joining us today.